Turn in your Bibles tonight or this morning into John chapter 14. We know there's been a lot of things going on. This whole world's filled with tribulation and trial. And Jesus said, I've told you these things that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And we're facing a lot of uncertainties. We face a lot of, seems like here in just the last little bit, we've just had so many friends and loved ones die. And we're facing death. We've got, right now we've got, three of our members either in the hospital or nursing, our nursing care, our rehab center. And then Sister Fayla, she's at home, but she's in pretty rough shape as well. I've got a great-grandson this morning. I ask you to remember my great-grandson, Colton. They took him by ambulance to the hospital yesterday. The paramedics wouldn't even let him drive him up. They said he was in so bad shape. He got type B influenza, and then when they brought him back from the patient first, he stopped breathing, and they had to keep jarring him to get him to breathe, and wound up taking him to the hospital. But you pray for him, if you would. Pray for our granddaughter. Her heart's just really in a turmoil and tore up. It just everywhere we look, there's tribulation. Everywhere we look, there's something troubling going on. But I'm thankful that I know the one that's above all the trouble. Amen. I'm thankful that I know the one that has given us the victory over all that the world brings unto us. That's why he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go in to prepare a place, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go in to prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's what kind of makes us a little bit homesick. Amen. That's what kind of gets us to looking. I've got friends and family. I got kids and grandkids down here, and I love them all. But I tell you what, the more I see this world go the way that it's going, the more I long for Jesus to come. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Amen. And just take us on out of here. If you found John chapter 14, we'd invite you to stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word. If you're able, we'll begin reading in verse number 7. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world might know that I have the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. Brother Jim, would you take us to this? Many are looking for peace that... John chapter 14? 27. I'm sorry. 27 to 31. I'm sorry. My mind gets... John chapter 14, 27 to 31. Let's read it again. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and I come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. I'm sorry if I confused you. But 14, 27 to 31, it's one of the go-to verses many times when folks are in trouble, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In a day and time and in a world where people are trying to find peace in lives that are in turmoil and tribulation and trouble, and they're trying to find peace, Jesus said, I will give you peace. And the peace that I'm going to give you is not the peace that you find in this world. You know, the world's peace is contingent on circumstances. Amen. One moment you can be at peace, and the next moment your whole world is turned upside down and you're in conflict, you're in turmoil, and all the peace is gone. But the peace that Jesus gives you can let the world be in turmoil and still let you be in peace. Amen. Amen. When we see throughout the Word of God, and we see the times when people were in problems and in trouble, and the Lord was there, they were in peace. The Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace. He didn't take them out of the fiery furnace, but He got in the furnace with them, and they were in perfect peace. You ever think about that? He didn't take them out of the furnace. He just joined them in the furnace. Amen. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar said, man, we throw three men in there. I see four walking around, and one's like the Son of Man. Amen. When they throw old Daniel in the lion's den, he didn't go screaming and hollering. He went, in the morning when Darius came, he said, Daniel, was your God able to deliver you? And he said, I'm here. I'm all right. He said, the angel of the Lord come and shut the lion's mouths. Amen. I have no doubt he probably curled up next to one of them and laid back and took a good nap. He was in peace. When Paul and Silas were beaten and were shackled and thrown into the most secure part of the prison and the most secure dungeon that they had, and they're laying there in their pain and in their agony, they wasn't crying and complaining about what they were going through. The Bible says they were praying and singing psalms. Why was that? Because they were at peace. Amen. Isaiah 26:3 says, I'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me. In other words, if we get ourselves focused on Christ, we get ourselves lined up with Him, He'll keep us in peace. Amen. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:65 says, great peace have they which love thy law. Man, you get troubled, get to reading the Word of God. Amen. Get into the Word, and the Word will bring you to a place where you'll find something that will give you peace. God said of those who rejected Him, of the wicked, He called them, the sinner, those without the Lord. He said, they shall have no peace, they shall find no peace. Over in Isaiah, He said that twice. If you're here this morning and you're not finding peace, you need to find your relationship. Amen. You find your relationship with the Lord and you get your relationship right, and you'll find peace. Amen. Because He is the Prince of Peace. He's the one that brings peace. He's the one that gives you that peace that is divine. In verse number 27, He says, peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. It's a divine peace. It's unlike any other kind of peace that you will ever know. Amen. If you want to know peace, you don't want to know the peace that I can give you. You don't want to know the peace that money can give you. You don't want to know the peace that things of this world can give you, because they're all temporal and they're all contingent upon circumstances, and things are going the right way. I can give you all kinds of money and the economy drop out of everything and lose everything you got. Ask all the people that thought they were making out during the Depression and the economy went, the economy fell, the banking industry went, and all that paper money was worth nothing. People jumped out of windows, jumped out of skyscrapers. They killed themselves because it couldn't bring peace. Amen. People look for peace and escape in reality. They drink and they drug, and they're trying to find peace that way. But sooner or later, the alcohol wears off, the drugs wear off, and reality comes back. And where are they at? Right where they started. They have no real peace. There was no lasting peace. Sometimes the alcohol and the drugs are worse than the reality that you were living in to begin with. Amen. It takes it away and it don't bring peace. But Jesus said, I'm going to give you a peace. And it's not like a peace that you'll find in this world. Because it's a divine peace. It's a peace that does what nothing else can do. Paul over in Philippians 4 and 7 said it's a peace that passes all understanding. In other words, we can never comprehend how God can give us a peace that allows us to go to the turmoils, the trials, allows us to go to the hurts and the pains that we face in life and still have peace in the midst of it all. You can't explain it. How could Paul and Silas lay in the state they were and yet be at peace? Because they had a peace like the world can't give, a peace that the world can't understand. Why did Paul go to all the things that he went through? Because he had the peace of God in his heart. He had that divine peace that allowed him to face everything that he faced and go through everything that he went through. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content. Why? Because he was at peace wherever he was. Because as long as he had Jesus, he had everything. And if you got everything, then you can be at peace. Amen. It's a peace that we can't comprehend. It's the peace that brings us to that right relationship with God, the peace that reconciles. As we have said many times, we focus on it in our Sunday school class a lot. This book that we hold in our hand, the very Word of God, I believe it is the inspired, infallible Word of God that we have right here to open up and to look to. It's a book from Genesis to Revelation of reconciliation. Amen. Every account that we read in the Bible, every major story that we go back to is about God reconciling himself with man because man had allowed sin to come between us. And God made a plan. God made a way of reconciliation. Over in Ephesians chapter number 2, and I'd encourage you to take the time to read all of Ephesians chapter 2, because I'm only going to touch on just a couple verses here, but I want you to go read the whole thing and just to see what the peace of God does and brings and gives us. But he says this in verses 13 to 17, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's reconciliation. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh. He broke down that middle partition, that barrier in the tabernacle. Man was separated. There was a partition that kept man from getting close to God. Man could only get so near. There was only one that could go into the Holy of Holies, and that was the high priest, and that was only once a year that he could go with the blood of the sin sacrifice to place it on the mercy seat. The Bible says that when Christ was crucified, and when he finally died, when he said it is finished, and gave up the ghost, that the curtain, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, and it wasn't torn from the bottom to the top, but it was torn from the top to the bottom, proving and signifying that God had accepted the sacrifice of reconciliation that was in his Son Christ Jesus, and had removed that partition, that man was no longer separated from God, but man could come before God and pray to God and plead to God on his own behalf. Timothy said there's only one mediator between God and man. You don't have to go to some place. Brother Billy Kelly described it most colorfully in his preaching. He said, you go to an outhouse and talk through a knothole to a fella that's dressed like your mother, and they call him your father, and you tell him your sins, and he's supposed to forgive you of your sins. He can't do that. Amen? There's only one mediator. There's only one that can plead your cause, and there's only one that can reconcile you to God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Amen? He says in verse 14 that the barrier was broken down. In Ephesians 2:15, he says it was he who fulfilled the law that condemned us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. God became man. He dwelt among us to fulfill the law, to prove that the law could be fulfilled, and to satisfy the requirements of the law. And he was willing to offer himself up to be a sacrifice on our behalf by fulfilling the law. He was the perfect sacrifice, the sinless sacrifice, because he fulfilled the law. And then it says that it was he who made right that which was wrong through his death, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, verse number 16 of Ephesians 2, having slain the enmity, thereby our sins have separated between us and God. The wall of petition has been broken down because of his sacrifice, and because he was willing to go to that old rugged cross and die for our sins, we can have peace, and came and preached peace. For he is our peace. Amen. You want to have peace, you're not going to find it in this world. You want to have peace, you need the peace that Jesus gives you. The peace that Jesus gives you is the peace that forgives you of your sins. The peace that assures you that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's the peace that assures you that when you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. When you do sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's a peace that the world can't give you, a peace that the world can't take away, but a peace that we forsake so many times. Amen. So many rejecting Christ and rejecting what he's offered, what he's given. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but everybody wants to go their own way. And there's only one path that'll bring you peacefully to the place that Jesus has prepared for you. And that's the peace that Jesus gives you. And the peace that Jesus gives you is available by going through him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you want peace in your life, you need to have this peace that Jesus gives you. The peace of this world will let you down. The peace of this world will fail you. The peace of this world is not lasting. No peace in this world has ever lasted for any length of time. There's always wars going on. There's always wars and rumors of wars. And in my lifetime, I don't remember a time when there hasn't been a war somewhere. I can go back to our most tenured saint here and ask him, do they ever remember a time when there hasn't been a war? And you know what they're going to tell you? No. You look back through history, you'll find out there's never a time when there's not been a war of some kind raging somewhere, someone going on. And when there's a war somewhere, everybody's got sides. Everybody's got a stake in it somehow or another, even though they say that I don't have a dog in that race. Amen? Everybody's looking at how it's going to affect them some way. There is no peace in this world. There's a song that says, the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. Why? Because it's a divine peace. It's a different peace. It's a peace that brings us unto him. But then in verse number 28, he tells us it's a peace that brings joy in our hearts. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and I come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. When you have a peace of Jesus in your heart, it instills a joy within us because we know where He's at. We know what's been accomplished. We know He's not lying in a grave somewhere there in Palestine, somewhere around Jerusalem. There's bodies in the ground all over the place there, but there's a grave that was borrowed for just a few days one time a couple thousand years ago, and the one that was there said He wouldn't be there long. He said He was coming back. He said He was getting up. He said He wasn't going to stay. And praise God, on the third and glorious day, He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And now He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me, because we're sinners and we need an advocate. And praise God, He's went back to where He come from that He might advocate on our behalf. Amen. Aren't you glad this morning? Ain't you glad this morning that you can have peace in your heart knowing that you have one that's already been victorious? Now, if the Lord tarries His coming, we're all going to go by the way of the grave. Amen? If the Lord doesn't come soon to rapture His church out, we're all going to have to go to the graveyard somewhere and someplace that they're going to put us in the ground, or they're going to spread our ashes, or they're going to put our ashes somewhere and they're going to be there. But praise God, I have peace in my heart. When I go to the cemetery with a saint of God, I don't go there looking at that casket as a final resting place. I done told you all, when it comes my time to go, when they preach my service, if somebody says that's my final resting place, you slap them right in the mouth. Amen. And the Lord will forgive you for it. He'll forgive you for it. Amen. You slap them right in their mouth for speaking such blasphemy, because that's just a temporary stopping off place for me. That box they put me in, that ground that they lay me in, it's just hopeful ground. That's just a hope chest, amen, in a place of hope, waiting for that time when the trumpet's going to sound, amen. The shout of the archangel's going to go up, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain are going to meet Him in the air. Praise God. I want you to know something. There's nothing in the world that can give you a peace like knowing that when I have to go, and if I go by the way of the grave, my hope's not wrapped up in this world. It's wrapped up in Jesus. Amen. I was telling Charles and Rick and Jack, they were over yesterday. And I tell you, Jack, man, you're hanging out with some rowdy bunch. We went and had lunch. We had a good time. Amen. But we was talking about all my junk around there. I said, well, one thing about it's for sure. One day I'm going to die. What they don't throw away, they'll try to sell to, you know, see how much they can get out of it. Just, you know, do it. You know, it's all means something to me. Amen? But it ain't going to mean a whole lot to most anybody else when I'm gone. But you know what? I said, when I'm going, I really don't care what happens to it anyway. Amen? Because everything I've got down here, I'm leaving behind. Amen? The only thing I can take out of here with me is what I've been able to bring to the place of realizing that Christ has died for their sins. Seeing them give their hearts and lives to Jesus. The only thing in this world we take out of this life with us are those that we lead to the Lord. Amen. Those that come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's the only thing that really matters anyway. That's the only thing that really gives us hope anyway. Jesus said we can have joy. Over in 1 Peter said this: blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom ye have not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing, look at what he says. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Because Jesus has come and has died and has risen again and has ascended back to the Father and is seated at the right hand. Praise God. We got something to rejoice about. Jesus said, if you could just grasp this, if you could just get a hold of this, you would rejoice. Hey, man, sure the death angel comes. Sure sickness comes. Sure our loved ones are suffering. But all this is temporary. Hey, man, what God's prepared for us is eternal. Hey, man, we find peace in a world that's filled with trouble. Because we're not trusting in the world. We're trusting in Jesus. Amen. Then look at what he said. On down here in verse number 29. I'm trying to hurry because I know we've got a lot going on here. Amen. Look at what he said. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Amen. We have joy. Because it's divine joy. We have joy in the hope that he's given us. Joy that brings rejoicing into our hearts. We have peace that has brought joy to our lives. Peace that is divine and peace that comes from Jesus. That brings joy. But this peace that Jesus gives, this peace that brings joy to our hearts, is also a peace that fortifies and strengthens our faith. He says, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. We have seen Jesus as he has went about and proven his divine nature, proving who he is, and man accepting and man rejecting. Everybody wanting something, but nobody wanting to commit. Amen. The multitudes followed Jesus because he healed and because he done these marvelous works. And as long as he was doing these marvelous works, everybody was thronging around him. But when he began preaching, they began to get offended. But it's in the things that he preached that fulfilled themselves, that strengthened and fortified the faith of those who had heard him. What do the Gospels record? They record the miracles that Jesus performed, but they also record the things that Jesus said and the things that came to pass. Jesus said, now, most of the time, they're watching what's been going on. Most of the time, as they're following him, they're looking for all the healing. You know, that's what happens today. Somebody gets sick, and we want healing. But we want the healing that we want instead of the healing that Jesus gives. Amen? We want the healing the way that we want it. And I've seen people pray and just plead to God to let their loved one just hang on a little longer, and they're struggling on the verge of death, and they're just lingering on and on and on because the family won't pray for God's will to be done and won't let go. And they're not in peace. They're in turmoil. They're struggling. And Jesus tells us in his word to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. So if we know that our loved one is going to a far better land, why do we want to see them suffer? Because we want to fulfill our will. We want what we want. Jesus said, now I'm going to tell you some things in a few places that he told them some things. That they might believe. He showed them some things that they might believe. You know, we got a word that is filled here with the things that Jesus has done, what the Lord has done, that helps us to believe. Amen? We see the blinded eyes that have been opened. We see Lazarus as he was raised from the dead. And let me just tell you this. I say, oh man, what an exciting thing that was. I believe Lazarus was one of the maddest men in the Bible. Amen? Amen. Can you imagine already dying? Have already gone through the throngs and the pains of death, being in paradise. But God had to use you for an example. Could you imagine going to heaven? Paul said that he knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body. I think Paul was talking about himself. God let him get a glimpse, let him get to see what the glory world was all about. And that's why Paul was so anxious to get there. But he knew he had to stay. But can you imagine being in heaven and your family down here bawling and boo-hooing and crying and carrying on, their hearts ripped out, and God having to take you back out of that sinless, perfect paradise and bring you back here just to satisfy them for a few moments, so that eventually you could have to go all the way back through death again, however it was you died, whether it was a car accident, whether it was natural causes, cancer, disease, or whatever it was, had to go back to heaven again. Can you imagine what that would be like? Wouldn't that just make you plumb mad? Hey, man. I mean, that would just tick me off. Been with the Savior, and now I've got to come back to all these sinners. Hey, man. Jesus said, look, I'm telling you some things so that your faith can grow. I'm telling you some things so when they come to pass, you can believe so that you might understand and know. He's told us these things in His Word. He showed us these things in His Word so that our faith might be strengthened and we might have the courage to stand up and say, I don't care what the rest of the world says. I don't care what the rest of the world does. I don't care where the rest of the world goes. They can all go to hell in a handbasket if they want to. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Amen. And if my house don't want to go with me, found, Brother Jim, Sister Mary.